brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone. This is another suds segment, in case you were wondering. And our motto of the day, and of the year, for that matter, is drink, belch, and repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we be that instructive with Dave to repeat anything?
It's going to happen regardless.
Breathe in, breathe out.
That sounds a lot like Sass Mouth.
He's a creature of habit, you know.
Anyways. But tough calls.
Well, I am your hostess, good old gal Juliana, and today at the table is good old boy Dave.
I'm both frightened and the roast.
Of course you are. And also with me today is good old boy Kendall.
It is so good to see y'all's faces.
Aww.
Behind those masks.
Here I am.
Also joining me today is good old boy Mike.
I am here in spite of the injunctive order that Canada has issued on me.
Well,
that's weird.
That's
not news.
Yeah, we've Bam, known that once forever. Again.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Just to be expected.
And pretty much. And also joining me at the table today is good old boy Caperton.
Hello. I'm seated between Julie and Mike, and I couldn't be happier.
Mm. Aww. That's so sweet.
I see you guys too.
You've been drinking a lot.
Yeah. Well, today we are drinking rosé. And no, fear not, it is not a wine episode. We're drinking rosé ales and ciders. I know, who'd have thought, right? Mm-hmm. It's a trend in craft beer that's been around for a year or so, but now, well, what is it? And is it any good?
What is it?
Yeah. So we're going to take a deep dive into that today. But first, this sud segment is brought to you by...
Pull My Finger. It's the dating app for marriage-minded singles who want to skip past the excitement and, well, hard work of new relationships and get right to the good stuff. Forget the little black dress and go straight to sweatpants and an old t-shirt. No more glamour shot profile pics, no makeup, no filters, no problem. When you're ready for the real thing and you don't have time to stop and smell the roses, pull my finger. Download today.
Okay, mm-hmm. We have some rosé ales. But what is rosé? Our resident wine... aficionado. Good old boy Mike, please share and give us some information on this delicate creature.
I will be using my famous French fake accent while I be discussing the wine for the day. Rosé is not even wine, it's more like wine-like.
So so much sharing.
Yes, so much sharing is caring. That's for you, Gepaton. Pull my figure.
So rosé is a style of wine. You know, it is a little confusing. Actually, it is one of the oldest styles of wine, and we were talking a little bit about that. And part of it is because red wine grapes are used, but the skins are actually removed early in the process so that their impact of color is minimized, and so it's pretty easy.
Is that true?
Yeah, is it true?
Is that true?
Yes, it is true, you little fat. So,
fact check.
So, I mean, rosés generally derive their color from how long actually you would leave, you know, the stems and, you know, the skins.
Seeds.
You know, basically in there.
Caperton has learned to get rid of the stems and seeds
different
immediately.
Different episode.
Yep. So, you know, some rosés actually have a darker color than others. And a lot of people think that's a component of age, and it has nothing to do with age. Actually, rosé is a fresh wine.
Hmm.
Actually, you know, when you go up and ask, you know, what is the vintage on a rosé? And when they stop laughing at you, you know, they'll go, well, last Thursday.
February.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it is really generally a wine that you are going to drink, you know, young and fresh. There are some rosés that are, you know, vintage, you know, but I don't know of anybody that would really own up to the fact that they really enjoy those.
So rosé is kind of like the jailbait of wine.
Ooh. Ooh. No, there are a bunch of...
Now I'm listening.
No, there are a bunch of, you know, fresh, you know, wines that are made. So the vast majority of wine that is consumed globally is actually fresh table wines. You don't... Actually, a lot of those are never even put in bottles. They're actually, you know, sold in, they're called wine bladders. And so they're just, they're moved around in a, in basically a, you know, a huge plastic, you know.
Whoopee cushion.
Yeah, right. And, you know, a lot of table wines that are made fresh and consumed fresh are actually quite good. So like those are called vin de pas, which is the wine of the day.
Gotcha.
And so... You know, rosés, you know, follow a little bit more aging than traditional vin de pas. Beaujolais is another, is a kissing cousin of rosé. So it is made once a year on the full moon, the first full moon in November. That's why it's called Beaujolais Day.
Beaujolais.
And so they're made with certain grapes. In France, and I'm sorry, it's just eluding me the name of that grape. Starts with a G, like Gamay, is what it's made with. But rosé can actually be made with a really broad range of grapes. It is, most of it is Grenache. Grenache is made in a lot of regions around the world.
Isn't that stuff that you get on like a dessert?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's Grenache. No, sorry.
That is not this different. That's chocolate Grenache. yeah. Beer geeks on this side of the room, all the wine geeks on this side of the room.
So it's not.
Pick us up. Okay. Wow. Sangiovese. Wow. Is another very common grape varietal that you find that's made with rosé. Sangiovese is a very popular red grape in Italia. So, but you also can have Sangiovese in some other areas of the world as well.
Fancy.
Syrah is a very popular varietal grape in California. So
it's a Democrat.
Mourvèdre.
Syrah.
Is usually a blending
Syrah
wine.
Syrah only grows to the left.
But you can make rosé out of that. There's some other blending grapes, you know, that can be utilized. Pinot Noir is probably the most expensive rosé on the free planet. So, I mean, that would be, you know, something that you would probably not want to do economically.
What about that Muscadine rosé?
That's just for you folks out there in East Tennessee.
Get that in a gallon milk jug.
That's right.
So today is all...
Well, you know what? Those are fresh... Made wines.
They are the wines of the day.
That's right.
Oh, sure.
That's from last Thursday. You bet.
Keep cold, drink fresh.
That's right. So today is all about rosé beers. And ciders are actually made from usually adding some wine grapes or some juice as one of the fermentable components. So that's what kind of brings a lot of the sugar, you know, to the table. Lots of the breweries have done beers with grapes. I really love the one from Trillium. That's a really great wine blend. But from what I understand, actually to be considered a rosé ale, it would have to follow a pretty specific profile. It has to be light, fruity, and refreshing.
Like Mike.
Yeah, I'm fruity.
Except for the light part.
Wow. Now, just like there is a second
refreshed
way.
Refreshed already.
Yep. So there are actually a lot of ways in which you can make rosé wine. There are multiple ways in which you can usually make rosé beer. And there are breweries that actually do a lot of things. They'll add other kinds of grapes, you know, to impart color or to add flavor to it. Use different kind of adjuncts, you know, to kind of bring things around. And even in the flight we're going to go through today, it's such a broad range of things. I mean, there are things, there are sour beers that they've put in wine barrels. You know, we have kettle sours that are part of this. We have actual beer that's been finished off in wine barrels. So it is a very wide variety of things in the flight that we're going to have today. So, so that's a kind of a quick overview of, you know, beers and rosé in general and, you know, probably what we're going to get to experience today.
Very nice.
Nice.
Cool.
Well done, Mike.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You might pull my finger out.
There we go.
Ooh. Maybe not.
Later.
Okay. Later. Good old boy Kendall, would you give us the lineup of today's rosé-ish beers?
Ish.
Ish. The rosé ales and ciders we'll be tasting and discussing today are Foolproof Brewing Company's Tatao Rosé Saison, Side Project Brewing's Rosé de Pays Saison, Spotsel Brewing, a.k.a. Shiner, Rosé Pale Ale, Rheingeist Bubbles Rosé Ale, and also from Rheingeist, the Little Bubs Session Rosé Ale. And finally, Oscar Blues Brewing, Guns and Rosé.
Welcome to the jungle!
Yes. Right, there you
Sorry.
Go.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well,
that's actually what he sounds like now, though.
Mm-hmm. It may be. Axel. Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Axel Rosé.
He kind of looks like Mike these days too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually does.
They're both gingers.
Yeah, that's for
Ouch.
Sure.
Ouch. Yeah.
I win the prize for burning faster.
Okay. Oh.
But he burned out faster.
Yeah. I take on a very rosé like hue rather quickly.
Mike can light up a room. No, literally.
Yeah. Right.
Wow. We forgot, though, to mention that we kind of threw in a
woodchucks would a woodchuck chuck if he made a cider that was in a rosé style?
Yeah, this one brings the sugar to the table.
Yeah, so another one that we're going to be discussing in this flight, but not necessarily a true rosé-ish beer, is the Woodchuck Bubbly Rosé Hard Cider.
Mm. Sugar.
Mm.
Honey. You can
All right,
taste
we will
the woodchuck.
Return after a brief interlude.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love.
I'm surprised.
Welcome back, everyone.
So, Amish chickens.
$20 worth of
no,
paper towels.
No, we are not talking about Amish chickens.
We may get to it.
No.
We'll see.
What we are talking about today, for those of you just tuning in, is
Amish chickens.
French Amish chickens.
No, silly. That's for later.
Okay.
We're going to talk about rosé and rosé-ish style beers.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a thing. It's phenomenon.
Really?
Sweeping the nation.
Maybe. Yes. Yes.
Feeling
yes.
fruity.
Mm.
So we discussed what beers that we're going to be tasting today, but now we need to discuss the ratings. Oh. And good old boy Caperton, would you mind doing the suds ratings for us and do it in a voice of a wine snob?
Oui. I shall do this in my most condescending wine snobbery.
Well, I almost feel him looking over his glasses. You know?
When I close my eyes, I hear Mike.
Silence, please. We will be discussing and rating these so-called beers with these suds ratings plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. Please pay attention. A rating of 1, that sucks. Please give me anything but a Budweiser. A rating of 2. Was that what you would call a belch? Yes, yes. A rating of 3, moving along. Rating of 3. Ah, what a relief, finally. A rating of 4. A body really should not make that sound, only in a state of extreme excitement. And a rating of 5. Listen to that hang time, brother. Give me another.
Swerve on that last one. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
That was good.
Reminded me of John Malkovich when he's doing his English accent.
Oh my God, yes.
Doesn't he?
Yes. And he can be snobby.
Yes.
That's pretty close.
I agree, kid. Dude.
Yeah. That was awesome.
I think you found his true calling. That's his voice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You should be a John Malkovich impersonator.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm working on it.
Oh, man, that's cool.
Okay. I'll let you listen to some of my wine shows, you know. For inspiration.
Yeah, that'll get me in the zone.
Yeah, that'll get you running.
Wow. Oh, okay. Now let's get into the beers.
Hey, were we going to talk about how wine is really an inferior product to beer?
Yeah. Negative Ghost Rider.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. So the first beer that we're going to talk about. And there's a lot of it. Okay. First beer we're going to discuss is from Foolproof Brewing Company.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
It is the Tateau Rosé Saison.
Yes.
5.9% ABV. Tateau, which is French for armadillo.
Yeah.
The plane, boss, the plane.
Oh, sorry. That's fine.
It's a whole different thing.
Thought that was just a little guy, but, you know.
Well, yeah, it's a saison inspired by the dry rosé wines of Provence.
It needs some inspiration.
Yeah, brewed with the musk of Grenache grapes.
Musk.
Woo, just kind of musky in here.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. Somebody can't copy and paste effectively.
In your general direction. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberry.
Feel the musk.
There you go. You find the clue.
Feel the musk.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. So, Grenache grape musk and hibiscus flowers. It is a sparkling pink ale that is dry, effervescent, fruity, and complex. It is a marriage of the sophisticated, delicate nature of an expertly produced French wine and the bold ingenuity and creativity of American craft beer. Man, doesn't that speak America?
Yeah.
But they may not make much sense, but neither does an armadillo smelling like a flower.
That's right.
I've never smelled an armadillo. Put as much effort into making this beer as they did actually writing that, you know, that description.
That's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
I concur.
I didn't even know they had armadillos in France.
Or where is this place again?
Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. They just have a French word for armadillo. Yeah.
So I will say, as this beer's warmed, it's grown on me a little bit. And I think they got their description's not too far off, except for the complex part. Because it's
kind of thin.
It's a little thin.
Yeah.
And it is dry. It is possibly the driest beer up here that I'm looking at. No, maybe. Probably not, now that I think about it. But, it's just not killing
not
it
working.
For me. It's not killing it for
moist.
Me.
Moist.
I got a
moist.
It's funny because
that's what it's not.
Yeah, I got a little bit of that saison hit,
just a little peppery,
just a hint of the peppery, but not even enough. If I want a lot more of the, you know, the peppery phenolic, just a little bit of a bite.
I'm not sure would work with even like what we're going for.
There's just not a lot of anything.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the problem for me.
Lack of complexity.
You know, the finish off this is very light. It's very watery. And I think that's what just fell apart for me, you know. You know, it this is something that I would expect would be very Grenache-like if I had to pick, you know, the varietal of grape. It's very fruity on the nose. But that's about the only thing it had going for it. I did not like this beer.
It's like Rhode Island, just not much there.
It's funny, is unlike a lot of beers, as this warmed up, I liked it less. I think I liked it more when it was cold.
I think the only thing this is missing is being in a Bud Light can. Bud Light Rosé.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That's coming.
Yeah.
You know
that. Yeah, probably, yeah. Thanks. I gave him that marketing idea.
Yeah, that's coming. The color's a little off for me.
I guess that's the hibiscus, like the color derived from that.
Yeah and, maybe. But in the scheme of things, it's got like a little bit more of an orangey tint compared to everything else that we have in front of us.
You're right. I don't dislike it. Don't like it. I nothing it.
Nothing. I nothing it. Yeah. I kind of feel that way. Because there's nothing that really stands out.
Mm. Does it make you feel empty inside?
Give it no rating.
Caperton, pull my finger. See if this beer gets any better.
Can we give this an absence of rating? It would definitely get
more complex.
Nah, we rated it.
A 3.
Okay. Yeah.
But it does
After
come...
all that was, wow. We were generous.
Yeah, yeah. I have
that
to say.
We kind of
where were we?
Yeah, that might be
I think Mike might have had it right there.
We've ever been off on a description and a rating. That's really interesting.
Yeah. It might have been where it was in the flight.
Yeah.
And also the fact that it was colder in the beginning.
I didn't taste that one first, so...
Yeah. I don't know.
I still just don't...
Bring on the bomb.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Now we're going to talk about something completely different. Okay.
That's an understatement.
And now for something completely
I can't wait.
Different.
Exactly. So, from Side Project.
Oh, good. I was hoping. Yeah.
Get
to drink that one now.
Yeah. We're doing the Rosé Dupays.
This is a bottle with a message in, and the message
Dupas.
Is
Dupas. Faux pas on my part.
Yes.
I think I've muled this bottle back for you guys.
I think you did mule this. Yes. Yeah. Now, of note, this is only 4% ABV.
Okay,
so wrap that one around your head.
Love it.
So this is inspired by the classic saisons from the French and Belgian countryside and the rosé wines of France.
Okay.
They blended mature beer Dupas with Chambourcin.
Yes.
Grapes.
Yeah.
From Nobly Vineyards in Augusta, Missouri.
What?
Yep. To add a round tannin, soft dryness, and a beautiful color. The color is beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
It is. To our already favorite beer Dupas. Before naturally conditioning this beer in the bottle for several months before sharing it with you. Well, with all of us around here.
Beer Dupas, not to be confused with beer Dumas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, you know, we are we've had so many great, you know, Side Project beers, and Corey has just been killing it in terms of quality. And, you know, probably if we were just looking at, you know, the beer names and the flight up front, I think we all had a lot of high expectations of what, you know, Corey would do, you know, with this. You know, I guess the one thing that I said is this is a sour beer that is using the house culture, you know, that Corey uses that's been finished off in a wine-like way. Mm-hmm. And so this is a vast departure from some of the other, you know, styles of rosé that we have in front of us.
I agree.
Yeah, but not in a bad way. Yeah. I mean, this is a great sour beer.
Yeah. It stands apart from the pack probably for that reason.
There's probably a lot more craftsmanship that went into this beer.
I've had a few beers with this grape, Chambourcin, right? And I've loved them all. One of my favorite scratch beers was the beer that they did with that grape.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking someone in the Midwest must be growing that grape.
But I said Missouri, right?
Yeah.
Augusta, Missouri.
But this is the, I think, the most complex beer of the flight.
There's a lot going on with this one. And even though that sourness, tartness is there, it's not strong or overwhelming. It's really blends well.
It's right where you want it to be.
I think this is the most wine-like beer that we have in front of us.
I agree.
It's got that little bit of acidity you get out of some wines, and I just think it's
I mean, just from the nose on down.
Really dry, it's really crisp.
Very vinous.
Well, it's really it's tough to figure out where the sour beer starts or stops, and basically the wine notes are kind of picking up because you know you're really getting the tartness. You know, comparisons between those two are going to be very close.
Like you would expect from this brewery, those two things complement each other. You know,
so
well executed.
Yeah,
for sure,
did an amazing job with this one.
Well, it's very to me. It's very easy drinking, and I could see why. Like, I have a few friends that are wine lovers that really don't get into beer. And I think if I had a bottle of this at a gathering, they would really enjoy it.
You mean like Mike?
Well, because it's like the best of both worlds. There is a whiny-ness.
Like Mike?
Venus.
Yeah.
Venus.
So there have been multiple batches of this, by the way, and actually we're tasting and reviewing batch one today. So,
are we?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because I bought this friggin' thing like just a few months ago.
And it's only what, 4? You said 4%?
Only 4%.
And that's my new jam. I hate to tell you guys, but I'm going low. I'm session.
Going low ABV?
I don't think of these beers as session beers. I just think of them as beers that don't get me wasted. I can drink a few of. Yeah. And I think rosé, correct me if I'm wrong, this is sort of a seasonal springtime. Get the swimming pool cleaned up and ready to go. Get your bronze. What do you use?
Get your bronzer.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. Is that a thing?
Thing.
And this is this is a swimming pool beer, man. I mean, I could drink this thing all day, you know.
I can see Caperton floating on a big pool floaty, like with a big old bottle of Saison on his,
just had to ruin the entire day, right?
Proper glassware, yo. I've actually got a plastic I'm pool friendly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but when it's done right like this, though, I mean, it's got so much flavor for 4%.
Yeah,
and there have been, you know, a lot of sour beers that we've had that have been finished off in wine, but they don't really, you know, kind of own that, you know, as a identity element, you know, describing it. And I think the fact that this is named as a Rosé de Pas, you know, would this actually, you know, taste an awful lot like a rosé wine? And my answer to that is yes. It's probably a bit more
spritzy.
It's probably a bit more tart and sharp than maybe, you know, a traditional rosé, you know, wine. But that's what I really loved about this is, you know, he owned it. You know, I mean, it really, you know, I think that he did the beer justice. I think he did the wine justice, you know, all the way, you know, through and through for this beer. So
you got to master your ingredients, you know, and it feels like he did it.
It doesn't say on the label or in the description, I don't think. Is this aged in wine barrels again? Or do we have any idea how they're aging this?
How it's finished out?
Yeah.
I've got to believe it got finished in, you know, in the wine barrels themselves, you know, of some kind. He has way too many, you know, barrels, you know, laying around for that not to be the case.
And I think it has all the hallmarks of a really well blended beer too. So I mean, that's the restrained sourness, but still like getting that tartness across, you know, without just blowing you away.
So there's no declaration, you know, on the. It says aged in oak right here. Missouri Rosé Saison aged in oak.
Yeah,
right
on the label. Aged in a Missouri oak.
So that kind of goes against you know, basically what, you know, we're talking about with, you know, rosé is not a well-aged wine. So it is, you know, it aged in a fooder, I can get, you know, that would probably be a very common choice of how they would actually just, you know, leave it in the fooder.
Yeah.
As opposed to barrel aging it for any period of time. They would just basically, you know, let it move through the fermentation cycle and boom, you know, just drop it into jugs.
Well, you got to let their house, you know, their house bugs kind of do their work.
Yep. So great beer. What did we rate this one?
We rated the Rosé du Pas Saison from Side Project a 4.
Nice. Cool. I know. Great beer, Corey.
Okay. Now, the brewery known as Spetzel or Shiner, we're going to talk about the Rosé Pale Ale.
You mean down in Texas, they're going to make some of that rosé?
Shiner, Texas, from the people who brought you dog Shiner Bock.
Nuts, right? Okay, so this is a 6.5% ABV pale ale that is a collaboration with Tyler, Texas-based Kiepersol Vineyards. And forgive me if I'm saying it wrong.
Caperton Vineyards?
Yep.
I know, right?
I thought the same thing.
Dang.
Yeah, so Shiner uses a blend of ales fermented with grape musk.
Must.
I am not putting musk. Okay.
Must you say musk?
And aged in the winery.
You guys are not pinning this crap on me. Wine all right, barrels. I'm just telling you right now.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're I'm not? Pinning
it say on that you, last Dave. Part again.
Blame Dave.
Aged in the winery is white oak wine barrels.
Gotcha.
Yes. White oaky. Okay. Color.
Pink.
I drank it all.
Sort of pinkish, pink, right?
Orange.
I'll get some
yeah,
more.
Pink you orange. Know. Pink orange.
I call it porange.
Porange.
I don't want to spin this around.
Spin it. Spinning wheel.
Is there
anything? Come on over here.
Okay.
There you go. Get on over here, little girl.
There you go, Caperton.
Oh,
brewers.
You got him an empty head bottle. Fake.
Brewer's pride.
There you says. Go. Now, look, the full one came around. Oh, there he goes.
Got it.
Wow. We need to film the Lazy Susan as it toys with Caperton while he tries to...
I know, right? Okay, so after thoughts on this. That,
for the lack of a...
You know, definitely rang a lot of bells for me, you know, across... actually, my full tasting notes on this, I wanted to read all these. There's a lot of wood, you know, up front. when you smell
that's
this.
What she said.
It's kind of a hint of that musk.
Was it hardwood?
Must.
I love the tea bitterness in this. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of leaves a bit of a watery, you know, component around it. But it's the plum is the real, you know, star of this taste profile. It's one of the few rosé wines or rosé beers we had.
Well, we'll be back with more in just a minute. The destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue.
Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Cha-cha-cha. Welcome back, everyone. So for those of you just tuning in, hello, hi, how are you?
Where you been for the last 30 minutes?
I know. Well, they got delayed. They got delayed.
They're reading.
So they're reading.
They had to wash
they're reading
their,
the injunctive had to wash their hands. Order in Canada.
They're reading up on rosés, right?
They're watching Tiger King.
Because that is what we are talking about today. Rosé beer or rosé-ish beer to be exact. So the one that we're talking about right now is from Shiner. It is their Rosé Pale Ale. And the word on the street is?
I like it.
We it's love good. It.
I love good. The finish on it. It's a very dry finish, and I think it's more than just the attenuation. I think there's a little bit of that oak tannic thing going on that it just dries out your mouth. And I love that finish.
This was the first beer we drank of this flight, and right away, it reminded me, and I mentioned this to you guys, it reminded me of a beer that I really love, and that is Dogfish Head 61, which is Grape Must, a pale ale, I think
I like pale ale. Right in the middle, there's this very subtle candy-like quality
to it. It's nice. Yeah. This is, I don't know. I mean, should I be surprised? I don't know. I mean, I don't drink a lot of Shiner. I'll admit this.
I actually think the tea is the thing that's kind of the dominating, you know, flavor profile. If you had not told me what this beer was, I would have probably said this is a beer that has tea blended with it. Yeah.
What's the tea? I'm missing.
I would have said,
it's,
you know, not,
there's no tea in there. It's just,
and I would have looked at the color and I said, yeah, there's probably some black tea with the hibiscus, you know, overtone to it or something like that.
Is that coming from those hops, those Idaho Sevens?
Could and be. I don't know, probably. Brewer's Pride. I don't know. That's there. That's it says on the label
but
here.
You get some tannins from tea too, though, don't you?
Yeah.
So maybe that's where part of it comes from. Mike is a very beautiful, complex riddle.
He is,
you know, so
an enigma wrapped in a riddle.
Knowing what you know happens in that brain of his,
sheathed in a mystery.
It would, you got into that head there, you'd probably never get out.
Well, I think what's interesting is
through
the
streets, naked.
I love how Shiner has really, they're not hugging their flagship into the ground. You know, so Shiner Bock is, you know, absolutely their flagship beer that's been around forever. Oh, yeah. And I like the fact that they have moved into making a wide variety of other style of beers, and they've made a good one.
Staying relevant.
On top of it.
A lot of their beers I'm not a fan of historically, but here lately I've tried a few of their different little offshoots.
I like their Hefeweizen.
Yeah, I think most of their one-offs are pretty good. They did one a few years back with Prickly Pear. And I really like that one.
That was good. They did a s'mores porter or something.
I need to pay more attention to Shiner.
Yeah. Don't sleep on Shiner.
Yeah, listeners, don't be like me.
Yeah.
Don't be a Caperton.
Yeah. Nobody.
Well, you know, I think part of, you know, the point that I was trying to make here is that, you know, this is a brewery that's been around for a very long time. And they, you know, are on a lot of taps.
Yeah.
You know, because the Shiner Bock was, you know, out, you know, so early on, you know, when there really was nobody else, you know, producing that style of beer. And I think if anything, you know, don't think that they're a one-dimensional brewery. I think it's a message that I'm trying to say is that I think they're making good beer, you know, to go around.
Yeah, and it is easy to find. Usually in my grocery store, I've noticed that, you know, not only do they have the Shiner Bock, but if there's any one-offs, you're going to see it on the cooler.
They're very available. So when you see something, definitely jump on it and take the opportunity to try it.
Does anyone know? I was about to look this up. I wanted to look it up.
Who owns Shiner?
Who owns Shiner?
Spatzel.
Spatzel.
It's a German family. They've been there for...
They're an independent brewer.
So are they still hanging?
Yep, yeah, they're still doing their own thing, man.
They got the independent craft label on their bottle.
They sure do. Of course, being from Texas, they've got the friggin' state of Texas on here.
Hey, I wonder if they would join the canned aid.
Brewer's Pride.
I think they would fit in well in that.
Brewer's Pride limited release. Yeah.
There's no competition, really, I think, with a lot of the brews that they're making there.
Twist the off Shiner cap
can
I know
twist yeah, off that's long it. Neck yeah. that's they're keeping it very Texan.
Yeah.
Ooh, man, I saw a picture this week of a guy that ripped his hand apart, you know, with the screw off cap.
Oh,
just literally like cut a, you know,
so
halfway
it,
through his thumb.
It really wasn't like, a screw off.
It was
I'm gonna turn this thing until it comes off where my thumb does.
I know.
When my skin rips, I stop there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Stop.
The first sign of resistance, I just grab an opener.
So what did we? What did we rate this?
Yes.
What did we give this thing?
The Shiner Rosé Pale Ale, we rated it 4.
Okay.
And the question came around to me, which one of the beers in this flight is the most rosé-like? This was my top pick for answering that question.
Well, and it sounded like they really took the time to, you know, because they partnered with a vineyard, like a winery, to make, and they used the grape musk. And then... aged in some.
Can't fix it on the back end, can he?
No.
And look, dude, I'm telling you.
Right.
Whatever.
Yep.
Whatever. Fine. Okay, moving on. Now we're going to talk about Rheingeist, okay, who is from Ohio. Yeah.
Wow.
So the first one that we're going to talk about is the Bubbles Rosé.
Can we lump these together? Please.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk about Bubbles and Little Bubbles.
Run them, okay. As one.
One is just a, you know, a shadow of the other.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So first one is Bubbles. Bubbles is 6.2% bright, dry, lith. Wow. Rosé ale with apple, peach, and cranberry for tartness and blush.
Well, you said apple juice.
Yep.
Yeah. Bubbles Bingo. Erupts with effervescence and evanescence.
That's Wait, isn't that compete. A band?
I know, so. Right? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Little Bubs, their Session Rosé, is 4.7%. Bright and refined Session Rosé with apple, peach, cranberry. Again, a tight and crisp expression with a smaller ABV compared to its bigger cousin. It whispers tartness and sparkles with refreshment.
Yeah, it whispers. Mm. Run,
I
run.
Blended them to see if they'd be better. They're not.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I like Bubbles, but it's just apple juice with a little bit of cranberry.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bingo.
That it's is like totally Poe Man's Serendipity.
Or a really crappy cider.
Yeah. You know, I think Rheingeist does. Didn't
see that Serendipity
beer is
coming,
really well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a full-blown swing and a miss on my radar for sure.
Just give me a can of truth and I'll be happy.
I think Rheingeist is like one of those restaurants where their menu is like 5 pages of, you know, it could be 7 different types of food. And you're like, come on, just pick a
this would, pick something. This is a beer that I would give to a relative in Iowa that I don't like.
What if they, look.
Mike hates his Iowan relatives.
But what if they called this a fruit beer?
Banned once again.
Yeah, if it was a fruit beer. Yeah.
What if they called this a fruit beer instead of a rosé
beer? Yeah, you have to shape people's expectations.
They should just call it a
It's very
idea.
Fruity. It's very all those things they listed.
If you said Bubbles Rosé Ale, or fruited ale instead of rosé ale.
Yeah.
Well, shut up.
I'd drink this stuff by the pool. I would. I don't do anything by
I
the
like
pool,
Bubbles
but if
way
I did,
better than
I'd drink this.
Yeah, little Bubs just tastes like a watered down
It was
Bubbles.
A weaker version of
I think if you know what the word evidence actually means, I think you should get a free case of this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nobody here is getting
use,
a case.
I know. Who would use it in a marketing description?
What? I missed it.
Where's
Evanescence.
Evanescence. Wasn't that like some sort of pseudo-Christian?
Right. I'm drifting away from
it. As they're all looking it up on Google right now. Yeah. So, because I have no idea what it means.
Anyway.
I don't want a free case of this. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, I'm checking on Untappd and they are rating it as a fruit beer.
Yeah.
So
well,
well, rosé ale is
I'm not sure
like
there's I'm not sure there's a rosé beer style.
There's not. And that's what it's so it has to be an adjunct beer or a fruited ale.
You're going to love this definition, Mike. It's an adjective that's soon passing out of sight, quickly fading or disappearing.
Yeah, that would be exactly how I would describe this beer, quickly fading, and man, I hope it's gone fast.
Man. Mike loves him some Bubbles.
Yeah.
You guys rated it lower than I did.
This is certainly not like
Why
the
did
Canadian
I just say quickly
show,
fading?
But it's not. But of these beers, this one tasted the most ridiculous, I guess. Yeah. I would say, you know, it's very like.
Well, the reason I included it too was like, you know, there's if you have a certain idea of what a rosé ale would be, like you're going to use the grapes or whatever.
Yeah.
People will just do whatever they want to do and call
this is,
it.
Yeah.
Well, this it's pink, so it's got to be rosé. Rosé. Yeah.
I would not want to play Scrabble with people. If somebody comes up with the word evanescence in a beer description, they would probably kick
somebody uses out. The word evanescence in Scrabble, you're screwed. You're
yeah, I would just go, yeah. There you go.
Quit. They just took half good. The tiles.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did we rate these beers?
Okay, so we rated Bubbles a 3, and we rated Little Bubs a 2.
Kind.
Okay, now we can talk about.
Okay, so this next beer that we are going to discuss
is pretty accurate.
Is no longer it's no longer in production. Okay. Yeah.
Due to litigation.
Welcome to the jungle.
Uh-oh.
So by that little side note there, yes, it's from Oscar Blues, and it's called Guns and Rosé.
I do like prickly pear, though.
I do, too.
Yeah. 6% ABV. It's an ale with hibiscus and prickly pear.
I guess I like hibiscus, too, although I don't chew on a lot.
I think a little goes a long way.
Well, yeah. That's true.
The most beer of the beer that we've had today.
Yep, for sure. In fact, I wrote that down. Wow, beer with hints of prickly pear. Huh. Yeah. So,
beer on a beer show. Who would have guessed?
This is actually about as far away from a rosé as you could possibly get.
It's very punny, but yeah.
I mean, I actually like the beer a lot. I mean, I thought it tasted good.
Yeah.
You know, if you're asking me if it's a good rosé beer, no. It's
I not. Think somebody at Oscar Blues in the brewery, they fired one up and they were listening to some Guns N' Roses. And they were like, hey, we're going to make this beer with hibiscus and passion fruit. What should we call it? Like,
I wonder, to my mind, this mm-hmm. was one of the first beers that I remember that name-checked rosé.
Yeah. No, so I agree.
I think it might be, they might have just done it for the pun of it. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't.
Oh.
But I do love prickly pear. And you know what? I would drink this beer, but... But they deserve to get sued for this.
Wow.
Give it to him, Axel.
Boom. Take that, Axel Rosé. Oh, no. Yeah. He's the winner here.
Yeah. I don't know why you would.
Now, that would be a good beer, an Axel Rosé.
Axel Rosé.
Hmm.
Yeah. It could be like all talk and. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think the bottom line, though, with this one, though, is that I still get the undertone of what Oscar Blues is like. Like, I get sure. a mm-hmm. hint yep. of yep. hops in there, yep. and I'm like, yeah, yep. this is an Oscar Blues.
It's a good
Blues
solid beer.
Beer.
It definitely yeah. tastes like yeah. an Oscar Blues
it
beer.
It is. Now, as a true rosé, no.
No.
I think an Axel Rosé would be one that just didn't age well.
He That's was been good. Sitting That's on that good. For wow. at least 40
no,
minutes.
No, dude. No, dude. As soon as I had the singer,
you wrote that down.
No, that's free. He's freestyling. Yeah. Yeah, that's wow. that's classic.
Yeah, that's
the
cool.
Zinger free of the, that zinger one, of yeah. the episode, right there.
Okay, yeah. Well, the Guns and
Rosé
beer yeah. from Oscar Blues, we rated a 3.
Three. Yeah, I think we were generous in yeah. some of yeah.
I would say they need to keep making it. Just call it something, you know, not
it was a,
litigious.
Yeah, good beer.
How many woodchucks would a woodchuck chuck?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Well, okay, so briefly, let's just, I think it's safe to say that the beers that actually contained a grape
must
in them.
Must?
Musky must. Actually produced bunch. A better
rosé beer.
Yes. Okay. Versus something that was just that
finished in a wine
that how that we gave
broke down here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't yeah. done the crunch the numbers here.
Now, lastly, we're going to talk about Woodchuck's Hard Cider, their bubbly rosé. Okay.
Kool-Aid.
It is a bubbly Kool-Aid fruit man. Forward blush cider. Made with a blend of red apples, delivering a crisp, smooth finish.
Oh my! No, there is nothing crisp and smooth.
If this didn't have alcohol in it, it's a kid's drink.
Yeah,
yeah.
It needs to be
even with alcohol.
It needs to be in a juice box with a straw.
It's just sugar and it looks like pink food coloring.
It's actually not pink food coloring. It's purple carrots.
Yeah. I can see some parents putting this in a sippy
what
cup.
Did purple you just, carrots,
what
yes.
What are you saying?
Yes.
Really? Red apples and purple carrots.
Never had
carrots.
Purple carrots?
Purple carrot juice.
Really? I'm just shocked.
Blue stars, shocked. Green
oh my goodness.
Covers.
Where have you yeah. been? Have you been deprived your whole
no,
life?
No, I'm saying.
Think about how
this,
much more
in
sugar.
In this context, oh. I did not expect him. If he yeah. had said purple dye number 47, oh, okay. I would have went, of course.
Yeah. 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 Well, think about how much more sugar they got out of those purple carrots.
Yeah. 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 yeah, I guess so.
Basically Whew. Free sugar that yeah. you're dropping in.
To make it.
Those crafty woodchuckers.
And this is a gorgeous pink, though, if you're, is, you know.
So yeah. I would send this to a relative that I don't like in Oklahoma.
Well, this just, I mean, it's just. Well,
and once again.
So what state do the relatives you like live in?
I don't know which ones actually listen to the show, Dave, so there's no right answer to that.
I'm not asking which ones like you. I'm asking because that would be a hard question.
Well,
what do we rate this?
Yeah, it's a good question, right? So the Woodchuck Hard Cider Bubbly Rosé, we rated a...
middle finger.
One.
We were generous.
Yeah.
You're very, number one, very. Woodchuck. You're that, number one.
You get
one.
A one for purple carrots.
Yeah.
I'm just blown away by that.
Okay. Well, that is going to wrap it up for today's Suds episode. You can always find us where you found this episode, as well as radio, satellite, online at Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and nearly any place you listen to a podcast. The easiest way to find the show on your phone is to ask Alexa, Siri, or Google, play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes.
We love your feedback, and you can always reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com.
Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram every day. That's why they're daily. At Sip Suds and Smokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news.
Yes. Please take the time to rate this episode if you're listening online.
5 stars.
Yes. Well, good old boy Dave, you know the drill.
Wait, this, is that a good drill noise?
Carpenter bee there.
Bye.
Good old boy Kendall, thanks for being here.
It was a pleasure.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Good boy, Mike.
Ah, it was a pleasure hanging out with you beer people. With a rosé. Come back. Join us for another exciting episode. Hopefully a wine episode of Sips Out of the Smokes.
Aww, do
I
we
will
have
ask
to?
You to keep on sipping.
Wow. Good old boy Caperton.
This has been fun. Thanks.
This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chuggling and catch you next time.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see y'all next time.